Songs this morning. We're going to be taking some scripture out of the book of 2 Peter today, and you can turn over there. You don't have to stand right now. We're not going to go there just yet. I'm glad for each and every one that's here. It's already been said we're looking forward to the week and been looking forward to this service. And thank God for every time He allows us to be in His house. As we saw already in the songs that were sung. There's some things in this life since we've been saved by God's grace that we do know, and I believe it's John in one of the minor letters. Thank you, Micah. He talks about the things that we know, mentions it quite a few times, and I do know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt the day I got saved. It's not a mystery. God let me know when I got saved, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's with me all in this life. I don't know exactly how He did it, but I know that He did it. Amen. And I thank God for that. But I'm reminded this past week, and really as we've been praying for the revival, and I got to looking at maybe how long it had been since we'd been in a series of meetings where it was revival. And sometimes you might wonder why things go the way they go. I forgot my hanky this morning, so y'all bear with me. And this past week, and I was my wife and I, we were talking about this, and a few at work. There's a house being. I'm going to get in a book in just a minute. I'm not going to preach a carnal message. I'm going to preach what God gives me in my heart. But I got to tell you this first, because it ties in with the message. There's a house they're building down the road, and I've watched them. Make the road, put in the road, they put in the gravel, they've done everything, and they put a structure in the back, and they're still working on it. Come home from work one day, and there was a truck had gotten off the road, and it had sunk up to the bottom of the truck. Couldn't even see the wheels on one side, and his truck was sideways. And it got me thinking really about some things, and I just kept pondering them all week. And I'm going to preach by the help of the Lord this morning if I can. Is how to get out of the rut. Because as we look at these things in life, and there's a couple of things we can look at and a couple of ways to go, but I looked up what it was, what a rut was, and if you think about it, the definition is basically sunken tracks or grooves. We all know that, right? I mean, you're going down a muddy road or somewhere, some of you, with gravel roads and different things in the wintertime after the freeze-thaw cycle, and a lot of trucks and a lot of cars go up and down. You get potholes, you start getting ruts. Things just get deep. You get grooves there. And if you're not careful, you find that everybody comes up, they just ride right along in those grooves. And before too long, they're just going along, and the deeper they go, the nastier they get. And they get more of a hindrance, and you can't seem like you get, you just go slower. And the other definition that was for a rut is a fixed, usually boring routine. Now, that's the kind of rut that we all need to avoid, and that's really the kind of rut that we brought us to, and we'll liken them back and forth. But as I thought about some of these things, and Dylan sung the song, He's a Waymaker. It talks about you've been the same old road for miles and miles. And so as we look at some of these things, we find that the world, if you think about how the world is going and how folks go as individuals in life, they go down life's road. It's often referred to as life's road or a journey that you travel. But if you look closely, you'll find that the world is on the same road. And they're all seemingly going together. And no matter how long they go on this road, it seems to lead them darker and darker and deeper and deeper. Never get out of the ruts. It seems like the longer they're in it, the deeper they get. And so as they get down life's road, oftentimes people will think in their own mind that I will go down through life, and eventually I'll turn and get on God's road. The only problem is there is no intersection from life's road to God's road. It takes a direct change for something to happen in you in order for you to be put on God's road. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, as I started out, that God has a way. I know that God's way is not our ways. I know that God's way is much higher than my way. I know the way of God is perfect in everything. I know the ways of God. Hey, listen, and the things that He has instructed us that on His path and in His way that there are people that have never been left alone. They are never forgotten if you're on God's road. Hey, listen, God has a way that the Bible says that even a wayfaring man, though a fool, cannot err therein. I'm glad that I have. Hey, listen, in the way of God, we find that the people that follow the ways of the Lord and in the path of God, hey, listen, we are a strong, the people of God are strong, steadfast, and sure. Oh, there are warnings to go along with being in God's way, and we're going to get on those in some just a little bit. But as we begin to think about how to avoid the ruts of life, hey, listen, people get stuck somewhere and where they are. People get to a point in life where they feel like they can't get out of. And I thought about that boring, that routine that we fall into. And I preached here in the past couple of weeks about getting complacent with some things. You want to know what complacency is? Complacency is a point of self-satisfaction. In other words, you are satisfied with where you are. Hey, listen, but if you get complacent in the house of God, you might be satisfied with where you are, but God wants us to be looking not only to where we are, but where our brothers and sisters are. I'm glad that God, hey listen, could have sat in heaven and been completely satisfied with a throne, and completely satisfied with a dwelling, completely satisfied, hey listen, with everything that He had spoken into existence. But when God looked at you and I, He was not satisfied with the condition that we were in. And so therefore, God, in all of His great love and His great mercy, made a way for you and I. Hey, listen, we begin to think about some of the roads that we're on. I'm often reminded, and quickly I'm called to remembrance, how Apostle Paul presumed that he was on a way that God was pleased with, only to find out that he was deeply rooted in a place where God was not satisfied and God was not happy with. Hey, listen, but I am also glad that God sought him out where he was to change his life and to change his way and put him on a new path. Hey, listen, I'm talking a path that was not rutted down by religious doctrine and beliefs, a way that was not made by man, but a perfect and holy way that was created from Calvary's cross at the blood that flowed out of the veins of Jesus Christ. And a way was made so that all could be removed off of the rutted road of sin and placed unto the holy way of God, so that we could walk therein and none of us would err. Hey, I'm talking about a road, hey listen, that God made himself, that you and I could never seek out on our own, that we could not have an intersection point where we would all of a sudden come off the road that we were on and turn to the right or to the left and find ourselves on a holy way. What did it take then? It took God himself coming to us. Hey listen, you want to know, as I thought about the ways of the ruts, that old truck that was sitting there, it didn't get out on its own. Hey, listen, sometimes you'll find yourself in a place, liking it like on the natural side. You'll get in some place and you'll try to go forward, you'll try to go backwards, you'll try to go forward, and you will think in your mind, I can get out of this, I can get out of this. But the harder you try, the deeper you get, until you come to a point where you shut everything down and say, I'm just stuck where I am. I cannot get out of this, and this is where I need help. Hey, listen, I want you to know that your spiritual life is much the same way. There are folks trying to go. Trying to move forward, trying to move back, trying to turn to the left, trying to turn to the right. But until you realize that, you better shut it all down and say, I'm stuck and I need help because I cannot go anywhere on my own. And then you can look up. And I'm glad that when you finally look up, there's someone who is coming to the rescue. When you call on his blessed name, he'll pick you up out of the rut that you're in, and he'll set you on a solid way. Hey, listen, in the way of God, there are no ruts. There are no potholes. If you just turn your whole heart unto him, render unto God that which is rightfully his, and thank God, you'll be finding your way down the road that God has made. Hey, listen, and you will not be alone, but the Lord will be there with you. I remember the day at 17 years old, on an old, right here on this altar at the Riverside Missionary Baptist Church. But before I ever got there, I realized I was stuck and I needed help. Way back.
you. Hey, listen, when I realized my life was, it was nothing but a lie, but life of the things that I tried to live, spiritually speaking, and the testimonies of the, that I would try to give on how I was raised and how I tried, and hey, listen, how mom and dad took me to church and how I knew the Bible and all the things I thought I understood about God. I realized on that day, hey, listen, Sunday morning when I sat in the house of God and the Spirit of God finally come to me and showed me where I was. You know what I found? I found out that I was stuck and I could not move anywhere. And no matter how hard I tried, I could not get off the road of the way I was in and set myself in the way of God. Because there was no way to go forward or backward. Nowhere to go to the right or the left. Mom couldn't help me. Dad couldn't help me. Grandparents couldn't help me. A spouse couldn't help me. No one could help me. But God was there. Listen, I'm so glad when you finally called out on Him. He said, I will be there for you. I want you to know the Bible says that God is not far from any one of us today. That means with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord said, I will hear your prayers. Aren't you glad today when you finally call out? It's just like bringing as we look at it on the natural side, it's just like someone coming in, hey, listen, with a big piece of equipment and lifting that right up and setting you on a solid path. That's exactly what the Lord does for His children. That's what He does for His creation. He'll pick you up and set you on a new way. Set you in a new path. Apostle Paul likened it. He said, I'm not the same creature anymore, but I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hey, listen, I'm not. You say, well, don't you get caught in the ruts? Hey, listen, I'm going to preach a little bit about some things that we get caught in spiritually, and I hope and pray that we can, if you're in this position now or you're in the situation now and you're saved, that you get out of there before Wednesday night comes. Hey, listen, and the truth be told, I hope and pray that you've not been in there for a long time, but I will say this, that as long as we live in this world, everybody in this building will get in a rut at some point or another in their life. And if you come out of one, it may not be long before you're in the next one. And if you're sitting in the seat saying, Victor, I've never been in that situation, all I can say is, just wait a while. It's coming to you. But I've got good news. There's help that can be had. Hey, listen, and can be found. And no matter where you are in life, if you're a child of God or you're lost, it don't matter. There is help. And the help comes from the same place. You ain't going to call on anybody to help you. You're going to make one call. There's one name. Hey, listen, given under the heaven whereby men must be saved. Hey, listen, in the same name that I called upon the day I got born again, it's the same one that comes to my rescue every time I'm in trouble. Listen, as we begin to look at the scriptures real quick, and you might say, well, it's a long time since you put us over there in 1 Peter. I want to read it like this. 1 Peter chapter 3, and you don't have to stand. I'm going to make it quick. It says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Peter's talking to the saved people here. He says that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What what Peter was telling there was, hey, listen, we know what we've been saved by the grace of God. We know what we've been called out of. And he said that it has been left unto us exceeding great and precious promise. But Brother James Perry touched on this in Sunday school, and it blessed my heart. But in verse 5, he said, beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, Peter knew that just because they've been saved didn't mean they wouldn't fall in a rut somewhere down life's road. It takes diligence to stay out of the rut. And listen, and we remind ourselves who we are, and we start adding to our faith the things that God has given unto us. And listen, we quote this scripture quite often, but God has delivered to us some powerful tools and instruments that we can add to our faith, all these things. And we give diligence, otherwise we may just fall off to the side. You say, well, how do you know that, or how can you say that? Because the same Peter that wrote this letter here in the second letter into the church, was the same Peter that found himself on Simon the Tanner's rooftop in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And he found himself in a rut because the Lord told him to do something, and he thought that he knew better than the Spirit of God. And when the Lord said, get up and eat, he said, I'm not going to do it. And listen, because he thought of the traditions that he was raised in, and the Jewish traditions of how they handled themselves and the things that they put in their body was somehow far better than the commandment of God. Sometimes we think that just because we got a little bit of Bible knowledge, or because we've been saved for any length of time, hey, listen, because we don't do the things of the world, that we're somehow better than everybody else. I want you to know something. You're fixing to get stuck somewhere, and you're going to need help from God to get your heart right and put you back on the way. And when that happens, add to your faith these things and give diligence to know. Hey, listen, that at any time, whenever you leave the precepts of the Spirit, hey, listen, you stop following the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you will find yourself in a rut somewhere. Hey, listen, but God does not intend for you to stay there. God never intended for His church to close the doors and lock them because people got dried up. God never intended for His church. Hey, listen, His church is here that He's established to be bulldozed over because people stopped coming. God never intended for His church had to be so high-minded that they thought that people couldn't come in all of a sudden, and they had all these rules when the folks would come into the house, and they try to put the rules of men upon the lost people when they come in before the Spirit of God ever pricked their heart. Hey, listen, God never intended any of these things to happen, but these things happen in life because people all of a sudden get high-minded and heady, and they get self-righteous. What happened? They get complacent and they're satisfied with themselves. Hey, listen, but they're not seeking the satisfaction of God. I don't know about you, friend, but listen, there's a lot of things that I find that I look to myself and say, that's good enough. And then the Spirit of God will come along and say, nope, that's not quite what I had for you. Hey, listen, I could have sat on the pew. I could have sat in the church. I could have sat there and said, I enjoy the singing. I enjoy the preaching. Hey, listen, but when the Lord called me to preach, I could have said, I ain't going to do it. I'm happy with being saved. I can sing a few songs. I can sing in the choir. I can play the guitar, and that's good enough. But if I would have stayed there, I would have been in a rut. Hey, listen, and I would have never got what God had fully in store for me. I've said this 100 times, if not 1,000. I hope and pray that you're getting everything that God has in store for you, but you'll never get all the blessings that He has if you find yourself in a rut somewhere and the Spirit's leading you in a different way, but you're too stubborn to get off and out of the pew and follow God. Not trying to step on anybody's toes here, but Peter said, give diligence, do all these things. You know what? You could say, well, Peter was stubborn in Acts chapter 10. Well, not only Peter was there, but he had to come back and explain it all to the disciples because they were just as stubborn as he was. So that mindset sometimes will put you in a place where you're not following what God would want you to do. You'll get stuck at some point. And I've said it already, you can't get out of that position on your own. Listen, I'm reminded in the book of John, I believe it was, where the Bible says that there was a man lame. He was 38 years lame. It doesn't say he was at the pool of Bethesda 38 years, but it says he was lame for 38 years. But the Bible also says that he would go to the pool of Bethesda because word had it and it had gotten around, and it was common knowledge in that area that every once in a while, nobody knew the day, nobody knew the time, but an angel of God would come down and stir those waters. And it was told to those people, and they had listened at some point. They must have realized that when the angel had stirred the waters, that some sort of sanctification and purity must have happened, because it was the first one that went into the pool was healed of whatever infirmity they had. And listen, and so the Bible says in that book that this man who had been lame for 38 years was at the pool of Bethesda. I don't know how long he had been there. I don't know how many years he was brought to that place, but he was carried there, obviously, because he was lame. And he was laid there, obviously, because he couldn't do it on his own. And so his friends were trying to help him, and they would bring him down to that place. But this man said every time, or the Bible says that every time the angel would come and stir the waters, before this man could get into the pool, someone else would get in ahead of him. And listen, and his healing would not come. Oh, but the Bible says that Jesus was walking through the city. Hey, listen, I'm so glad that there's one higher than the angels. I'm so glad today that there's one higher than your friends and loved ones. There's one that cares about you more than anybody else. And when this lame man struggled on his own, Jesus come walking by his way. Oh, listen, and the Bible says that the Lord spoke to him, and God simply said, get up and walk. And the man got up on his feet and he began to walk. Thank God today. Listen, Jesus will do for you what no one else can do for you. And when you're lost and undone, he'll save you. And when you're stuck on life's road, he'll rescue you. And if you're his child and you are in a place where you cannot feel his blessings, he will pick you up and take you by the hand. It's the same Jesus that went walking on the waters. The same Jesus that caught Peter when he started to sink. The same Jesus, hey listen, that did all these things. It's the same one today that still walks to the church. Hey listen, and touches the heart of our people. The same one that answered me this morning. The same one that got me up. The same one that strengthens me. The same one will be there tomorrow. The same one that's high, lifted up. The same one we sing about. The same one we preach about is the same one that loves me today and will love me tomorrow. And thank God, the same one that's coming back to take me home someday. I don't want to be in a rut. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be satisfied with myself. Hey, listen, I want God to be satisfied with the church. I want the Lord to be satisfied with our life. I want God to be smiling upon the congregation when we come to his house. I want God to be smiling upon you in your life. I want God to be smiling upon you in your home. I want him to smile upon you at work. I want him to smile upon you wherever you are. If you're a student, I want him to smile upon you at your school or the place where you go every day. You want to know why? Because when God is smiling upon you and you can feel the presence and you can feel the power and you're walking right in the center of God's will, you'll never be in a rut. I think about some of these roads in the world that have been around for years and years and years, and the countless number of automobiles and cars and vehicles that have been up and down them. If they were made strong and sturdy, they're still level as they ever were. And you think about the way that God made. And you think about the chief cornerstone that the church is established upon. Hey, listen, the church and the foundation of God, the foundation of heaven, hey, listen, what God has established, it standeth sure. It is steadfast and unmovable. Christ, in one parable, he told them to build their house up. He said, anybody who would not listen to me and not listen to my words, anybody who does not hearken unto the word of God and does not hearken unto the things that God is handing down for the soul of mankind, he said, that person is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. You don't know what happens in the sand? It just gets deeper and deeper and rutted. And eventually you sink, you fall, and you can't ever get out on your own. But he said, those that hear my word and obey my word. He said, I liken them unto a wise man who built his house and dig deep until he got down upon a solid foundation. Thank God we are built on something solid and secure. Hey, listen, it has never settled, not even a little bit. The word of God and the way of God is always a steadfast and sure. Hey, I'm glad that the only time that the children of God ever find themselves in a rut is when they fall off to the right or fall off to the left. But I'm glad that the Lord is there to put us back right up on the road. Does that happen? Sure it does. Sure it does. Stop coming to church and see how many blessings you get.
Amen. Preach.
Peter said, giving all diligence. I'm not a fan, and I'll say this, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's the truth. I'm not a fan of those that come into the house of God and shout the house down and disappear for months and months and months, and then come in 6 months later and act like nothing's wrong. It might be okay for them, but that wouldn't be okay with me. Because I know if I laid out for that long of a time, I'd know beyond a shadow of a doubt the things that I would miss out on from God. And I'm not willing to give that up. Because I know what God has done for me. And Peter said, giving all diligence, he said, if you lack these things, in other words, if you lack to add to your faith virtue, if you lack to add to your virtue knowledge, if you lack to add to your knowledge temperance, if you lack to add to temperance patience, if you lack to add to your patience godliness, if you lack to add to your godliness brotherly kindness, if you lack to add charity to your brotherly kindness, he said, if these things do not abound in you, in other words, this, I'm taking it in reverse here, right? He said, but if they don't abound in you, you are barren and you're unfruitful. In other words, you're stuck. Because you can't feel the love of God. You can't feel those things in you. He said, and if you stay that way, you lack these things, you're blind, can't see far off. You'll get in a position where you wonder if you were ever saved. That happens. And they start doubting, you start doubting, forgetting it's your once purged. But he told them, he said, wherefore, brethren, the rather brethren, he said, give diligence. Again, there's that give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you get in that position, I believe what he was telling, if you get in that shape, you need to get on an altar and make sure what you got. Because if you got it, God will show you that you got it. God shows you got it. He'll pick you up out of the rut you're in, and he'll show you what you need to be doing. And if you don't have it, God will show you that too. But I believe the Lord will show you that you're lost before you ever have to come and ask him if you're lost. He'll reveal some things. But here's where I want to get to. Because we're going into revival. He said this, all these things. He said, wherefore, in verse 12, he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. So what Peter was telling them there was, I'm praying for you. I'm remembering you. I'm worried about you. I'm not casting you off. I'm not going to forget about you. But I love you. Even though you know these things, I want you to know that I'm not going to neglect to pray for you if I see you in that position. Even though you know these things, I want you to know that God is your only help and you need to go to him. But I want you to also know that I'm giving all diligence to remember you and to pray for you. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, and Paul never went to the city there, but in the book of Colossians, hey, listen, we find that he wrote a letter when he was in prison down in Rome, and he said, I sent to you my fellow servant Epaphras. He established a church there in Colossae, but Paul said, I have heard, hey, listen, that you have how the faith had come to you, and you were born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you put on a new creature. He said, but nonetheless, there are heresies about you, and there are some things that have come into the doctrine, and the Jews have brought it in, and some of the Stoics and some of your other beliefs that you contended with or held to, they have crept their way in. and you're in a rut. And he said, but I want you to know that by Jesus Christ who strengthened you, you can come out of these things. You are a new creature, and I'm here to remind you of these things. And I'm praying for you that you would be remembered, that you remember who you are, so that you can get out of the spiritual rut that you're in, and you can get back in the path that the Lord has saved you unto, because you have a better hope through Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today that you've been born again, saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are given a better hope than what this world has. And we ought to walk in that hope. We ought to rejoice in that hope. We ought to sing in that hope. And we preach in that hope. We love in that hope. And we abide in that hope. Looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you're in a rut today upon the road of life, you are stuck where you are. And maybe you've looked to the church and you say, I don't know how them people go on. You want to know the first thing I recognized when I was lost? I realized that the people in that building, the people in that church, the people in that congregation had something that I didn't have. You could say that I was in a rut here and I was looking over to another road and these people were just happy and rejoicing and they were just traveling down. Hey, listen, and everything was good. And to look at them, you might say, and to the world, they can look and say, well, those people, they're miserable. They're not that road isn't as crowded as our road, and we've got a lot of friends on our road. But then when you look at your road, really, when you're stuck, you're all alone. And when I realized I was lost, I realized that the thing that I thought I understood, I realized that I was all alone. And I realized I needed help. And those people that I thought were my helpers, I realized, too, that they were just as stuck as I was. And really, you weren't going anywhere. You're not traveling anywhere spiritually. You're not traveling anywhere. You're not getting anywhere. But you find out that the more you try, the deeper and deeper you sink. And that could be a message all of its own. Because eventually the bottom drops out. Hell is a place. Absolutely right, it is. It's real. Yeah.
Right.
Outer darkness is a place. The lake of fire is a place. Absolutely, it is. Do you know where that road to heaven, that road that God puts you on, it's a road that leads straight into the gate of heaven. That's right. Amen. It has no detours. God never pulled the bottom out. He never stopped along the way and said, hey, hold on a minute, I've got to finish this part of the road. When Christ got up out of the grave, everything was paved all the way from earth to glory.
Right.
He cleared the way, and he saved. And through his precious blood, he puts us on that way, and we're a new creature in Christ. So where are you headed, preacher? I'm going straight to heaven is where I'm going. And there is no doubt that the road I'm on, where it leads, I know for assurance that it's there. I've watched loved ones complete their journey. I've witnessed them walk into the portals. Hey, listen, leave this life and go right into the other side. Rejoicing. They reached their final destination. But I'm going to hear, and so as we go into revival, some might be stuck here this morning. You might be in a place where it's been a while since you felt the presence of God in your life. You might be in a place in your life where you just desire to feel that closeness that God, that you once felt. Hey, listen, the Bible's full of men and women like that. But the Bible's full of men and women like that to teach us that, hey, listen, that the way they got out of it is the way we've got to get out of it. We just look to God and say, Lord, oh God, help me. Revive me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hey, Lord, let me feel your presence again. Let me feel that closeness that I once felt. Don't let me stay in this rutted place. Hey, give up. I give up. Hey, listen, you're going to have to give up and give in to him. If you find yourself not even on that road and you're lost, friend, I hope and pray you realize that no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you try to go forward, no matter how hard you try to back up and you try to get momentum, you try to, hey, listen, get the things in order in your life. And that's really the mistake that people make. I'm going to get all this in order, and then I'm going to get right. The problem is nothing ever gets in order. No matter how hard you try, the deeper you get. Sin just takes you deeper. It don't let you get out. It holds you. It binds you. It keeps you. It costs you. Don't let it cost you eternity. Don't let it cost you your soul. Cry out. You've got help. All you got to do is plead. Turn to God and plead to him. Cry out to him. Hey, listen, we read this Bible from from Matthew when Jesus Christ showed up on the scene, all through those four wonderful gospels that are given to us about the life of Him, of life of Christ, the death. Hey, listen, the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, everything that Christ did, He did for you and I. He did it so He could rescue us off of the road that we were on. He did it simply by all we got to do is call upon Him. I want you to think about that. Just remember, we're going to come to a close. But when you get stuck, things shut down, what's the next thing you do? You got to call somebody, right? I mean, you got to call somebody. I need help. Come and get me. You got to call somebody who can come and take care of whatever position, whatever situation you're in to get you out of the rut that you're in, gets you out of the place you're in, that place of being stuck. Well, when it comes to the soul, friend, there's only one call that can be made. You're going to have to call on Him. Realize that you are stuck and realize that you cannot get out on your own. But I'm amazed at how just a heartfelt, humble prayer from the depths of your heart. Hey, listen, when that spirit starts to knock at your heart, just says, come. Just come. Shows you that you're stuck. Shows you that you're lost. Shows you that you need help. You're in a rut. You can't get out. You might be satisfied. You're self-satisfied. And you think everything's okay. Hey, listen. The Bible is filled. And I hope you never get to this position. Because in the Bible, Jesus told him on one occasion, or in an instance there, when He looked at the Pharisees, they had gotten so complacent and self-satisfied. And the people of that time had gotten such a place where they thought they were in the right way that Christ said, when I come back, He said that you will say, Lord, Lord. In other words, He said, when I come back, you're going to call on my name like you knew me. He said, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, I never knew you. And there are people in our world today that are going about, hey, listen, there's religious organizations, there's buildings everywhere full this morning. There's some buildings full of thousands of people. And they're in there and they're singing their songs and they're, hey, listen, they're getting caught up in everything that's going on and they're feeling good about where they are. They're feeling good about them getting up and going to church that day. They're feeling good that they can walk into a place that has a cross somewhere or has a Ten Commandments posted somewhere. And they're feeling good about getting up and going and paying their tithes, and they're feeling good about singing in the choir, and they're feeling good about all of that. But yet they don't have the Spirit of God in their heart. They're stuck.
Right.
They're blind. Peter said, you can't see far off. You got to add to your faith. He never told us to add works as far as works of the world. But when we start adding to our faith the virtue and the temperance and the knowledge and the brotherly kindness and the patience and the godliness and the charity, we add all those things. We add to our life. Well, God, we take those things and we add the righteous works of God get added in our life. I don't know about you. I don't care about the works of this world being added to my life. I want to do the things where when God comes by and He sees that tree, that there's fruits there. The Bible says, Christ told me, He said, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. In other words, someone who's lost cannot bring forth the righteous fruits of God. And someone who is saved cannot bring forth corrupt fruits because you've been changed. You're on a new road.
Right.
You're not the same. You're a new creature. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know where you are right now. Spiritually, I don't know. I believe in my heart there's some people here that are lost. Simply because I've never heard a profession. But I hope and pray that you can, if you're lost today, that you would find your way to an altar and realize that you are lost. Because it doesn't matter what the preacher thinks, and it really don't matter what the deacons think, and it don't matter what the elders think. But the relationship you have is not with the preacher, and it's not with the deacons, it's not with the elders, it's not with the Sunday school teachers, it's not even with your mom or dad or your spouse. This relationship spiritually is with God. And it's personal. It's a very personal relationship. Christ said, I know them that are mine. He said, I am the good shepherd, and they are my sheep. And he said, the voice of a stranger they will not follow, but they only follow my voice because they know me and I am known of them. I know them and who they are. No one had to tell me that I got saved. No one had to tell me that things were different in my life. No one had to convince me how I had to live. No one handed me a rule book and said, well, now that you've been on an altar, these are the things you have to do. But the Spirit gives guidance. The Spirit shows us. And Peter said, add to your faith all these things. So God has given us the things to add. We just got to ask Him. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, as the Bible says. The Bible also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But when we come and we ask God and we pray to God, He also, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon said unto them, in all your asking, ask for understanding. There are many things in life that I don't understand, but I'm glad that the spiritual things I can inquire of God and He'll show them and reveal them to us. But just like Peter in that second letter, we need to be praying one for another. We need to be remembering our brothers and sisters. We need to be remembering our lost. Where do you take them? Where do you remember them? You take them to God. I'm not opposed to mentioning people's names to God. He knows who they are. I don't have to mention them. But I think we ought to be that personal. We ought to be that personal when it comes to our loss. We ought to be that personal when it comes to our friends. We ought to be that personal when it comes to our family. We ought to have a zeal and a desire deep down in our heart to see our people saved. We ought to never be stuck in a place or in a rut where we get in a position where we're just following the same old usual routine. And that routine has put us in a mindset where we're just complacent with where we are. I like it when God shakes things up. I like it when God turns the surfaces upside down. That just shows me that He's the one in control. He reminds us He's the one in control. You're here saved today. Maybe you've been in a rut for a long time. I plead with you. It's time to get out of it. You want the blessings of God. You want to feel the joy of God. You want to feel the presence of God in your life and in your home. You need to get out of the rut you're in. You need to get a renewed refreshing, a rededication, something in your life to get on the road and get down there. You can feel that presence and that joy. And if you don't know Him, I would... Man, all I know is that if you don't know Him, you ought to be running this altar. You need help. May it would do me absolutely no good. Come back there, wherever you are, take you by the hand. If I thought that's all it took, I'd be back there standing right beside you right now, trying to yank you out of the pew. But you don't need my help. You need God's help. Thank you.
But if you step out on faith, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's a whole congregation will be here praying with you. Praying with you, praying for you. That you pray through. I don't believe that a prayer that comes from the heart of a sinner who's broken, contrite, I don't believe God will leave it unanswered. He's promised us that He wouldn't leave it unanswered. You just got to come and ask. Call on His name. Cry out. Lord, I need help. Repent, Jesus said. Repent or perish is what the Bible says. It's what it teaches us. Oh, I don't want to perish. I wanted to go to heaven. I don't want you to perish. Love you too much. Christ loved you so much He died for you, shed His own blood. Not interested in your sacrifices. The sacrifices man had to give couldn't get the job done. But Christ gave Himself and offered Himself once and for all. Sacrifice made at Calvary was sufficient to cover the sins of the whole world. Having shed His blood, having it be so sufficient for the covering of the sins of man, He sat down at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I, to hear our prayers and to answer whenever we call. What's keeping people from heaven? They just won't call on Him. God's not kept anybody from heaven. But it's open and available to whosoever will, let him come. That's why we stand up here and say hell's a choice that people make. They just simply choose not to repent. They choose not to believe God. And in so doing, they choose hell for their home. Sad. Stop trying to scare me, preacher. I'm trying to scare you. Just telling you the truth. Not my truth. I'm telling you what God said about it.
Someone got a testimony, anything on your heart today?